Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
And welcome to another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show. I'm so glad that you've joined me today. And I have a very special guest with me. It's somebody that I personally know and root for. And I'm so excited to have him back on the show. It's been a couple years, but I am with Clark Beckham. And Clark, thank you so much for joining me on today's show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's good to talk to you again. And I'm very excited that we'll be coming into Seattle area very soon.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, you have a show coming up in the Seattle area. Why don't you give our listening audience a quick shout out of where you're going to be and what date, times, and location? So, coming in here?
Well, I am October 29th at the Rendezvous Theater at 6:30 p.m. We're going to be doing a show. It's a really cool theater because it's pretty small, which is a lot of fun to fill that room. Tickets are only $12. Actually, the cheapest ticket on the tour.
Yeah,
and it's a really nice setup. There's a lot of venues that I do that are kind of are just set up like a club or a bar, and this you feel like you're in a really high end old school theater or movie theater, and it's right there, close to the stage. It's not a bad seat in the house. It's a really neat place.
The Rendezvous is actually where I saw you for the first time, and it's been a couple years ago. It is a very nice, intimate setting, and for a lot of our listening audience, they haven't heard your name for several years. It's been quite some time with COVID and everything else. I can't imagine how it screwed up your scheduling and all the cancellations. But give some people some background about who you are. So I actually got to know you because you were on American Idol as your first entry spot, at least on a national stage, and becoming a household name. And then when I saw your name come across that you were going to be down at the Rendezvous, I jumped in. There was just something special about you that I knew who you were. So give some people some background about your journey as a musician and what's it been like for Clark Beckham? Who is Clark Beckham?
Yeah, well, I grew up pretty involved in music. I grew up singing in church, and I was 7 years old when I started singing, and it was a gospel trio with my mom and dad and me, and went through and kind of did the thing, you know, every opportunity I had to sing in church or in school, in choir, whatever it was, I jumped at it. And then through college, the same thing. And then, like you said, I was on American Idol, got second place in 2015. And right after that, I have kind of hit the ground running after the show, and I've been doing music, recording, songwriting, and touring, and doing special events full time since then, which is the dream. I mean, it's such a blessing. When COVID hit and the pandemic, you know, a lot of musicians lost their entire income. I mean, there was no events, there were no public events,
right,
no touring, especially. So I actually pivoted and started doing online music lessons through Zoom. We all got very familiar with Zoom.
Yes.
Over the year and a half, that's for sure. But that's what I started doing. And, you know, it's actually something that I learned that I love doing and I'm going to continue to do even when everything is back up and swinging. And it seems that it's getting closer to that now, but I'm going to still do lessons, and I've really loved that. But yeah, I've continued to do songwriting, and we're on tour right now, and we're on our way to Indianapolis right now for a show, and we're just hitting the ground running, and we're chugging through until we get to Seattle.
Well, that's awesome. So it has been a changing year or 18 months for many people. I'm glad that things are starting to open up, and you can actually create somewhat of a routine and schedule for you. Are you seeing people come out? Are they starting to come out of the woodwork? Are you getting some people in your shows? How's the response been from the community over the past many months as you've restarted your touring?
Yeah, people are starting to come out a little bit. It's definitely, it's still quite the difference between before the pandemic and now. I think I was kind of talking to someone the other day. It's like movie theaters are open again, but no one's going to them because we've gotten so used to not going to the movie.
Yeah.
And I think concerts are a bit like that, too. People are used to not going to concerts. And so it's kind of the door's cracked open, I think. And there's definitely fewer numbers in most cities, but then some cities, depending on where you are doing great. But it's definitely a difference, and it's a fewer number of people. But that kind of brings its own advantage and its own uniqueness and intimacy to each show, and it's very personalized. And I see the faces of the people that I'm singing to, and I've actually, in a way, enjoyed it in a really fun, new, unique way that I certainly didn't expect. But it's been really fun, and some of the best shows I've ever done are happening on this tour.
Well, and I'm really privileged to know you personally, and so and I can tell you that you love to connect with people, and so I would imagine that this is just a very different environment, a very different opportunity. Like you said, that instead of having a packed room, you can actually see individuals. How has that changed maybe some of how you've approached a show lately, or approached what you've been doing to actually build that intimate connection compared to having a larger full room? So how has it changed for you?
You know, it's made the shows very personalized. And what I mean by that is I can get an immediate read on the room if they like something specifically or they don't. So yeah. Some crowds go crazy for ballads. Some crowds go crazy for jokes and banter. Some crowds go crazy for the story behind the song, and some don't. Some don't really want to hear the story. Some just want to hear you sing.
Yeah.
So I've been able to get an immediate read on what the room really loves and maybe isn't so interested in. So each show has really been quite different, but it's been fun for me to feel like I'm engaging in a conversation with music or storytelling or comedy or different things like that. It's been very specific for that audience, and that's been really, mixing things up like that has been really fun for me.
Very nice. And what have you seen coming out of your shows? People, I'm sure, are really happy to be back into an environment to where there's people around, where there's music being played. And in your music specifically, I think, is unique to many individuals. How would you classify your music? What does it mean if someone was to be interested in saying, okay, I'm interested in this Clark Beckham guy, what would they expect from your music? What would they expect if they walked into the Rendezvous on October 29th?
Yeah, my music is, I would describe it as, get your notepad ready, I would describe it as singer, songwriter, blues, R&B, soul, gospel, pop.
Okay, so
some conglomeration.
Let me see if I've got all those. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
So blues, jazz, gospel, pop, R&B. So in other words, you're just having an eclectic mix all over the board.
Yeah, it's not to sound corny, but it's just me, you know, whatever I am. And my voice vocally lends itself to soul and R&B the most. But then what I write, there's some songs that don't have any like big runs or big soulful things in it. It's just I think a pretty song with great lyrics and a good melody and good chords, which I love and adore. So, but there's the soul and R&B stuff that I grew up on, like Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Marvin Gaye, Al Green, Otis Redding, Sam Cooke, those guys that doesn't ever go away from anything that I do. So it's kind of just, an eclectic whole bunch of different things that are really truly a melting pot, I think, into one solid sound that is me.
And you can definitely hear that foundation in your writing, in your voice, in your songs, in your presentation. And so there's a liveliness and an upbeat to it. It's a current, but yet anyone of almost any age can walk into a concert of yours and find an appreciation, a touch point, whether it's from that R&B or that deep soul and jazz background that you have, or whether it's really the gospel flair or the pop flair. So it really is a wide variety of touching points that you get the availability to really speak to so many different people groups, so many different age ranges.
Totally.
I mean, the age range in your concerts has got to be pretty a large range, is it not?
It is. I mean, I've got people that, when it's an all age concert, I've got 15-year-olds and I've got people well into their 70s. So I mean, it really is the entire age range.
Yeah, a large gamut of people, of cultures, of color. I think it's one of the most intriguing and attractive things about who you are and about your voice, about your style, is that you really can reach a large people group, and somebody can find a touch point with your music. So today on the Legacy and Faith Show, we're with Clark Beckham. He's coming back to town. It's been a couple years since he's been in the Pacific Northwest. I'm looking forward to hanging out with him, to listening to some of his music. Clark, remind everybody, where can they find you as you head back to the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, on October 29th, I'm playing a show at the Rendezvous Theater. It starts at 6:30 p.m. You can find tickets at clarkbeckham.com/#tour. And if that's the ending there, I don't know how we got a hashtag in a web address. If you go to clarkbeckham.com, you can definitely find it there.
Yeah, you can find your tour information just by going to clarkbeckham.com. Head on out, support Clark. We're going to get in after this initial break here. We're going to talk more about Clark and his heart for ministry, his heart and passion for building the kingdom. So hang out with us. Don't leave the Legacy and Faith Show, and we will be right back.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And one of my more enjoyable times is with this young man, Clark Beckham, and a musician for across all age ranges and colors and creeds. And it's going to be a fantastic show here at the Rendezvous coming up on October 29th, 6:30. Now, the Rendezvous is downtown Seattle. It's in the Belltown area. But it's going to be a great show. And Clarka, you and I really connected because as I was watching you on American Idol, you know, I just knew there was something about you. And you are a man who has a foundation that is clearly established in the church, that is clearly established in faith. And you make no bones about it. It's not that you're out there preaching the gospel at every single concert, but yet you are going to be who you are, which is a fascinating and it's a exhilarating and refreshing viewpoint that someone can be talented and intelligent and yet be a champion for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So being on a Christian radio station here today, give some people some background about what does it mean to Clark Beckham to be a man of faith and yet be producing music that is touching people of all faith levels, and that includes people with no faith whatsoever. So what does it mean to be an artist and yet be firmly grounded in your faith?
Yeah, I mean, it's in short, it's exactly where God's called me to be and to do. And for a while, I grew up in maybe indirectly being told that it was communicated to me that the idea of being a Christian, and if you sing, if you have a musical ability to sing and play, and you're a Christian, that means that you have to become a worship leader,
right?
If you want to be in the will of God. And God, that was not His will for me to be a full-time worship leader. And so I really struggled because I was going back and forth with God, ironically. I remember saying, like, okay, God, because I really started following Christ, and he was, I became Christian, but I said, okay, God, I'll be a worship leader. I'll do it. I'll be a worship leader. And he so clearly said no. Mm. I remember thinking, what? God, did you just hear me? I just said I'll be a worship leader, and you're going to say no? Like, that's completely against what I grew up thinking, that, you know, what we're supposed to do as Christians, if we could sing. But he's called me he's called all of us to be light, to be light in a dark world, in a dark environment. And one of the easiest, I think, deceptions for Satan to put on us is the idea that we have to sequester ourselves away from the world. We have to wall ourselves off. But an army was never effective if it would stay inside of its barracks and never go out. So,
right.
What I do is I sing and I write songs. I write songs about the world that I see through redeemed eyes, the world that God has created, about things that God has created for us and that He has deemed good. And my whole ultimate goal is to be a part of a culture shift in popular music, where we're not singing about destructive lifestyles and making them sound cool. We're singing about life-giving things and spirit-filled things and things that God has created, and depicting things the right way, like I said, through redeemed eyes and through redeemed ears. And that's what God's called me to do. And the audience that I have is certainly mixed with Christians and non-Christians, and that's exactly what I want, because everything I do, being filled with the Holy Spirit and having God motivate and inform every decision I make and everything that I do, He's going to be in what I sing. He's going to be in what I do. And when those songs and my attitude and the light that I have through Jesus Christ is shining such a way, and is those lyrics are in and out of people's ears and spirits as my music is listened to by non-believers, that's going to translate. There's going to be something that's happening. God is enthroned on our praises, and our praises are not just confined to the typical worship song that you sing in church, but in everything that I do it for Him. And so all of that, I mean, we could talk for a whole hour just on that. As you could tell, I'm pretty passionate about that.
Yeah, God I love it.
Has given me that. that area to minister in.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, you're talking to an attorney who has been called by God. So figure out that oxymoron, right?
Yeah.
So if you think being a singer, being called by God out to other people, try being an attorney. Holy smokes. But you're absolutely right. Where we are all called, regardless of what we work, whether it's in ministry, whether it's as an attorney, a songwriter, whether it's as a nurse, you name any profession whatsoever. And as a believer, we are called to demonstrate the beauty, the kindness, the goodness, the love of God in righteousness and in purity. And how much more is needed in your area of work to where love actually becomes sensuality instead of actual love, where love is depicted between just a man and a woman. And that is going to be skewed in most songwriting. It's going to be perverted because that's what the enemy does. And the enemy is not at all ashamed or scared or afraid to actually boldly proclaim what his perversion of love is, what his perversion of relationship is like, what his perversion of any aspect of this world and the love of money and everything else that he wants to take and twist to a dying world. Well, we get the opportunity to stand up before men and women and proclaim that there is a good and loving and kind God. As a matter of fact, it's his loving kindness that draws us to repentance. And
that's
so
right.
As you proclaim and demonstrate kindness and goodness and the purity of love from our Heavenly Father, that has got to have a godly inroad effect upon people's hearts. What are some of the things that you are seeing, in a concert that at the end of the day, what are people's responses? Because you make yourself available. That's what I love about you. You're not just running off behind the stage. You're actually coming out and meeting people and mixing with people and enjoying their presence. What are some of the things that you hear after a concert of yours, specifically as it relates to this desire to demonstrate the goodness and the kindness and the love of God?
Yeah, the feedback is always very positive. It's always about, I get a lot of comments about people enjoying my songs, and also in the concert, the most recent thing that's happened in my life is I got married over the pandemic. So
I know, congratulations.
Thank you very much. We just celebrated 1 year about a month and a half ago. And I talk about that a little bit in the concert too. I give people an update, and then I've become an advocate for marriage and how fun it is. I mean, when we were getting married, everyone kept telling us how tough it's going to be, and no one was telling us how fun it's going to be. And
right.
It's been such a blast. And so I talk about those things, and I say things like doing it the right way, and what I mean is doing it God's way, and how wonderful it's been that way. And people ask me those questions. And because one thing that in order to witness to someone, you have to first have their trust. You have to. And when they relate to me in the concert and in what I'm doing, they're open to hearing my perspective on what a biblical marriage looks like and what God's way is. And one thing I also do is when I have a Sunday on tour, I will often try to find a church to speak at a Sunday formed the night before, and I will invite the crowd to come to church where I'm going to sing more, and then I am able to just speak straight ahead, like pedal to the metal of the gospel and my testimony and
yeah.
Who God is. And I see people coming to church who would never step foot in a church otherwise, and that's been such a blessing, and we've seen a lot of fruit from that.
Yeah, such a beautiful open road. And you're right, once we have somebody's heart, once they lean into us with trust, then there's a whole different opportunity there. Well, we're coming to the end of our time here today with Clark Beckham. He's coming back to the Seattle area. I'm so excited to see him. Clark, again, tell us where you're going to be and how do people find you?
I'm going to be at the Rendezvous Theaters downtown October 29th. Starts at 6:30 p.m. You can get tickets at clarkbeckham.com. And I am so excited to be back in Seattle. And Paul, I'm looking forward to spending some time with you and your family. And Seattle's one of my favorite cities in the world. And I'm so excited to come back.
Well, we're excited to have you. So thank you so much for joining me on today's show of the Legacy and Faith show. So if you have questions, you have that you want to know what my services are about or anything else about me, then head over to legacyandfaith.com. Clark, thank you for joining us today. God bless you as you travel. We'll see you soon and stay safe on the road. Thank you again, everybody, for joining the Legacy and Faith show.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.